Coming up next on Joan Hamburg's Let Me Tell You, our podcast, meet filmmaker Jack Bryan, who exposes a 30-year history of political warfare devised by Vladimir Putin to disrupt and control world events. Fascinating. Be there. Welcome to my podcast, Let Me Tell You. Yeah, the Joan Hamburg people, me, we do an original podcast. We have two podcasts. We podcast our regular show, which you can hear on Saturdays beginning at 2 o'clock, or whenever you want. You can go to our unique original podcast, Let Me Tell You. We do fascinating things, and I share my week and share what's going on. And by the way, with the holidays right upon us, it's amazing how many of the famous restaurants and groups in New York City are delivering. Union Square, that's Danny Meyer's group, they're delivering on Gold Belly all their fabulous desserts. And from Blue Smoke, their barbecue place, a wonderful Thanksgiving feast, including smoked turkey. It's terrific. My friend Mitchell London does wonderful food. He really does. And you can go online, check him out, find out what they're doing, and they deliver, or I'm sure you can pick up. And then if you're out on the East End, literally just about to start, there's going to be a spectacular light show in Riverhead. You know, Riverhead has really grown up. It's become a huge town, and a lot of people go there for all the different events. And this light show, people are already talking about it. So I have a feeling it's something that you would really like to do. And there are great restaurants, big Polish community there. You can get homemade kielbasa and all the things that we love. So check out Riverhead Holiday Light Show, right online, riverheadlightshow.com, and that can add to your festivities. Now, I know this time of year, a zillion calls about our family's Ritz Cracker stuffing. Come to my house and you will see the Costco stop, two monster boxes of Ritz Crackers. We could barely bring them upstairs, and this enormous bag of Costco onions. Each onion is the size of a melon. So, and I love to use them. So here's how you make the Ritz Cracker stuffing. If it's, my Thanksgiving is crazy. We're literally 49 people. Three turkeys this year, because I can't think of how else to do it. And we're debating between a brisket or meatballs. And Cousin Dougie is doing a pot pie, but not chicken. He's doing a vegetable pot pie. And he makes a homemade crust, and it's quite spectacular. So there's everything. But here's the Ritz Cracker stuffing, which I'm literally, without exaggerating, thousands of you have made. It was my mom, and it was her mother before her. So if it's like a normal Thanksgiving with like 10, 12, you know, like regular, I use those Costco, because melon size, five large onions that I dice. I use a half a cup of chicken fat, which now you can buy in the market, or vegetable oil. You know what? Chicken fat is better, and it's not that unhealthy. It's no worse for you than anything else, and I don't like the fake stuff. Two or three stalks of celery, chopped. Two or three boxes of Ritz crackers, crushed. Two eggs. If you've got drippings from your turkey, or you can use a can or homemade chicken stock, you can use a little butter if you're using stock, salt, and pepper. You preheat the oven to 350 degrees. Add the chicken fat to a large pan. Then add your onions. Brown them until you think they are totally caramelized. And it takes, I don't know, it seems to take a long time. You don't want to burn them. So in this huge saucepan, you've got the onions, which are caramel colored. You crush the Ritz crackers. I don't do it in a Cuisinart. I just smush them together, or just pound them in the wrapping. Then I combine the browned onions, the crushed crackers, and the diced uncooked celery. I beat the eggs and add a half a cup of the chicken broth. I save the rest for basting. Pour the mixture over the cracker. Put it in a 2-quart casserole dish in a 350 oven and bake. Now, I like to bake them when I'm doing the turkey so I can use the drippings. If you're making gravy, make a lot extra, which I do anyway, and you can use that to baste the Ritz crackers. I have friends who just melt the butter and add it to the chicken stock, and they constantly baste. Now, basting, if you're doing it on a big turkey or something, truthfully, it doesn't make a big difference. But in this stuffing, dressing, it makes a big difference. I used to use this inside the turkey. I don't do it now. I'm a germaphobic. I do it outside. And it can bake as long as you want. 1.5 hours. The crispier it is, the better it is. And it's something that everyone loves. So this is your Ritz cracker stuffing. And don't forget, if you're coming into Manhattan, all the fun starts the Wednesday before Thanksgiving when you go to the Great Macy Balloon Inflation. Head outside the Museum of Natural History, and there'll be a path between West 77th and West 81st Street. This is a tradition. My kids have been going since they were little kids. Every year, they still go. In fact, every year, my daughter now has a pre-parade party and a poker game. So everyone comes with their families, and she cooks for like 30, 40 people. It's really fun, and the parade is still magic. We've got a great Let Me Tell You straight ahead. So enjoy, stay tuned, and we'll talk real soon. Welcome to the Joan Hamburg Show. Well, you know, we are, many of us, up to our eyeballs with news. MSNBC, you name it, CNN, Russia, Trump, America. But someone did something, took this a step further. Jack Bryan, who's a very interesting man, did a documentary called Active Measures. And this documentary takes a fascinating look at the connection between Russia and Donald Trump. It describes through many major players and behind-the-scene players what Russia did to try to manipulate many events in the world, but the one that we are all most obsessed with is our recent presidential election. You also get a look at Putin's career through his election as president of Russia and through his relationship with Donald Trump. You're also going to find out more than you probably want to even know about Paul Manafort. So he was the campaign chairman and very involved with foreign shell companies that were accused, or people say, laundered money. So let's start how Jack Bryan, who is the producer, became involved in this at all. Where was this in your scheme or list of things that you wanted to do or were doing, Jack?
Well, first, thank you so much for having me on. I think it was basically late March of 2017 was when I really decided to make this film. And it was after having really followed the story closely throughout the election and really thinking it was very important, but then feeling like people weren't really getting the full extent of it and weren't really understanding what had happened. And even though there was, you know, good news coverage of it, it felt like it was washing over people because in reality what happened went back really far, went back decades. And that was the origin point of it, of a lot of operations that were ongoing by the Russians that were then turned towards the 2016 election. And so I think that a lot of people didn't understand the depth of it, and so they're missing the full story. So we wanted to create one place where people could sit down and understand the depth and the breadth of it. And so that became our priority, and we just sort of, me and my partners, we, you know, dropped our other projects and quit our jobs, and this became the only thing that we thought was important doing, because it's simultaneously the largest corruption scandal and the largest espionage scandal possibly in American history.
Now, there are a couple of things that are fascinating. First of all, how you got to people like John McCain, and, you know, even more important now that he's gone, all the footage that you had of him, Hillary Clinton, and a lot of other major players. How'd you get to them? Was this part of your world?
Well, not really. I mean, I think what was important was that they've both been amazing, or had been, in McCain's case, had been amazing on this topic in terms of pushing back against Russian aggression since about 2004. Mm-hmm. I mean, Russia had been running these exact same operations all over Europe, and they were the two biggest voices pushing back in the American government. And so they were essential parts to telling the story. And I think what they needed to understand before they agreed to sit with us was that this wasn't going to be some conspiracy theory. This wasn't going to be some, let's make the most anti-Trump documentary we can make. When they saw who else we were talking to, that we approached really respected diplomats, that we approached really respected people that were, you know, run think tanks, and had frankly helped the Senator McCain and Senator Clinton with their policies as when they were in the Senate. And so they realized, okay, this is going to be a really deep dive into something that we really care about, that we think is very important. And so I think that was really our what made it possible for us to talk to them.
Right. And when you think about it and watch the documentary, you really understand that it's not just about Putin or Trump. It's about America. It's about democracy, everything that we are. But was it frustrating, and is it frustrating? You did a documentary that got tremendous attention. You can see it on iTunes, and you should watch it in light of what's going on. But the public, particularly Trump's people, seem like, so what?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when Nixon was left office, he had 25% approval rating. There's going to be a portion of the population that aren't going to care, that aren't going to acknowledge it. And so for us, what we thought was the important part was to really speak to the middle, to speak to the people that don't really understand how dangerous the story is and how important it is for people to fight back and protect their democracy. And our hope is that that will have a sort of a wave, ripple effect that will affect the sort of the dug-in supporters. And so by talking to the middle and the moderate right, I think that that's where we have the best chance at having an effect.
And if you think you know Vladimir Putin, you know, it's very interesting. One of my kids lived in Russia for 7 years, started a business there before Perestroika, after Perestroika. And Putin was sort of everywhere. But it wasn't the Putin that you get to see in this documentary. First of all, what you did in Active Measures was show how he became involved in New York real estate, in a way, or his rise to power created
that. His network, certainly, yes. His network certainly was involved in that, yeah.
So really a whole different and interesting time. There are many documented facts there. Of course, as Jack Bryan mentioned, we have to make people care about it and pay attention. A major magazine, I think it was Vanity Fair, in talking about your documentary, asked the question, is this film what in the end could bring the guy down? What? And there is no answer to that, right?
Well, no, there isn't. I mean, what I hope is that by people understanding the background information, the context, they'll really understand the news that's happening now. And if you understand what's happening now in the news with Manafort, with Michael Cohen, it confirms everything that's in the film. I mean, in a very surprising way. And it also, you will understand how disturbing this is and how bad this is for democracy and how we have to deal with it. But I think it's very hard to understand what's happening in the current events space without understanding the background on these guys. And so I hope if we can contribute one thing, it will contribute to people understanding the news of the day.
Yeah, that's right. Going what's behind the news of the day rather than just a headline. But talk a little bit, if you will, Jack, about Manafort, his involvement and how this really became a big deal and in the end took him down.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, Manafort has been a shady character since the 1980s. He had a housing corruption scandal in the 80s, and by the 1990s, he's kind of out of the Republican Party. There's been a lot of corruption around him, and so he goes international, and he starts involving himself in very shady elections in the Philippines, in Kenya, in Angola, and develops sort of a brand as the sort of the dictator's lobby or the torturer's lobby. And then in 2004, he gets brought into Ukraine to support pro-Russian candidates and to support the Kremlin line in Europe and in America. His guilty plea shows that he was in 2012 already from Ukraine attacking Hillary Clinton as part of his job. And then in 2010, he runs a campaign which is shockingly similar to the 2016 election against a female pro-Western, anti-Russian candidate. And they, throw the lock her up chants at her. They say that she's a criminal. They even say that she wasn't born in the country. And it's a shockingly similar campaign that they ran. And the previous time that this gentleman had run, they had hacked the vote. There were strong support for him, he'd gotten more than 100% voter turnout in those locations, which is obviously impossible. And so the shady elections and the election attacks that the Russians had committed in Ukraine were done through Paul Manafort. And not only that, but Paul Manafort was also dealing with the Russian mafia in very direct ways. Dmitry Firtash, who is connected to the Ukraine-Russia gas trade, which is the number one source of revenue for the Russian mafia. He worked with Firtash on many projects. Firtash is currently in Vienna being charged with being a sorry, I'm trying to basically being a criminal for organized crime. Mm-hmm. was the term that was losing me. And then also Oleg Deripaska hired him, $10 million a year contract to represent Russian interests. Oleg Deripaska was denied a visa for his connections to organized crime. So he is, Manafort is directly in the Putin lobby, and he is directly in the Russian organized crime sphere while he's working in Ukraine.
Right. So worse than people thought. And Jack Bryan, in this film, Active Measures, not only talks to Clinton and John McCain, but he talks to people who really were there, the former CIA chief of staff, and people like that who really had an inside link. So when all is said and done, you interview all these people, there's no question you have all this fact. What the Putin-Trump coziness, the relationship, it's much more complicated than just some real estate deals, although that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. What would you, if you had to analyze it, looking back, what really is this about?
Well, I think that like any relationship, it's about different things at different times. And I think that that's the part that people are missing, is that they sort of think, well, why in 2004, why in 1995, would Donald Trump be having these relationships with Russian oligarchs? It's not like they were planning on having him run for president then. The first response is, well, he was talking about running for president then, so it was probably in the sphere. But they're right. That wasn't the main thing they were interested. At that point, they were interested in laundering their money, and the Russian mafia working as a branch of the Russian government, laundering especially Russian elites' money into America. And the easiest way to do that is to push it into real estate. And so initially, that's all it was. This was a very easy place for us to stash our money in this guy's buildings and in the development of his buildings as well.
So a lot of Trump buildings all over.
All over the world, yeah. A lot of it. And so eventually, as he becomes closer and closer to that network, you see him doing deals more directly with high-up oligarchs. And then as that continues, the politics become in play.
Well, a fascinating look. And you as a kid, actually through your dad, knew the Trumps.
Yeah, and I think that that was one of the sort of the things that perhaps led me to start this project or allowed me to sort of get an advanced look at what was going on, because I didn't really make the connection early, you know, early, but as I started to, as during the election, as things started to fall into place, and as it seemed clear to me that this was a Russian operation that Donald Trump was helping out with, because everything that you would expect to see if that were the case happened. And I remembered at that point hearing, you know, since 2008 that Donald Trump was, you know, associated with the Russian mafia, and not in any specific or direct way, but it was just sort of almost a thing that people would joke about, and you wouldn't need to explain the joke because everyone kind of knew that he was mobbed out. And so I think that probably pushed me a little earlier to start believing that this was a very important problem and pursuing it professionally.
And probably changed your life, Jack.
Oh my gosh, yeah. The last year and a half has been my entire everything has changed.
Because, right. You know, it's it may have taken Russia to find out who you really are, but but it worked. All right. Jack Bryan, congratulations. Active Measures. Really interesting. Go take a look. You can do it on iTunes. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Jack Bryan, the producer of Active Measures, and a fascinating look. We know the headlines, but you really want to know the story. It's all there.